Welcome back to That Damn Sports Podcast. We are coming back to you quickly after Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Sadly, for me at least, the Suns dropped it, and the Milwaukee Bucks are Finals champions.
On top of Suns in four.
Yeah, RIP to Suns in four. on top of the fact that Giannis still did what he does best and run to the rim and flop and all that kind of stuff. But we do have one positive note on this podcast is the fact that we are with our special guest. Hopefully, we're going to hope and pray we get more of him on here. Willie Lines, our boy, Willie G. Here, we'll give a little clap for Willie Lines. We call him that because he's a gambling expert. He knows what he's talking about. Willie, you got something to say. It's your first time on here. It's only our second episode, so you got something to say.
It's great to be you guys' favorite guest. awesome. As a rising star in the name of athletics and the sports and stuff, I'm really excited to talk to you guys. I'm sure you guys all have great insight, so I'd love to bounce some ideas. Just spit a little shit.
But anyway, back to the point of the whole thing was tonight. You know, it kind of felt like, and Mikey said this a lot when we were watching this, was it felt like Phoenix should have been losing by a lot more. It just the whole time, it just felt like Phoenix was in control the entire time. Milwaukee was in control the entire time. And down towards the end, it was like, you know, they're only down by 2, 4, 6 points, and it was kind of surprising.
They just had no momentum the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like Milwaukee the whole time was leading. I really don't know if they were leading the whole time. They could have been, but from just a person that was just watching the game, it just really felt like if you didn't know what the score was, you felt like Milwaukee was up by like 10, 20 points the whole time.
It was one of those after the super strong second quarter by Phoenix. Like, it felt like they were hanging around all game just to like come back, because we've seen those games so many times before, but Chris Middleton just kept hitting those shots. Giannis just kept scoring. They kept getting steals and crazy blocks. I think Giannis had like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So it just was one of those games that just they really had in their bag the whole time.
All right, Mike.
I mean, that kind of brings up to our point. Yep. I mean, we're talking about momentum and everything, and it just seems to me watching the game that every foul called was on Giannis or was going towards Milwaukee's way.
Almost
no fouls called for Phoenix. Like,
so you're saying Giannis was getting fouled.
Yes. Yes. Getting fouled.
Yes. Especially, I would say, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Very, and I am a big Giannis fan, despite all of this noise around me. I love Giannis. I think he is probably one of the greatest players in the league, if not the greatest. We can talk about that later, but I will say, regardless of all of that, just watching the end of the game and the fourth quarter and watching him flop around, and I mean, both teams did it, but it's just like, I don't know, the refs, and I don't like to blame the refs, but I don't know.
It's their fault.
I also think I just wanted the Suns to win because I wanted to see a game 7 for selfish reasons. Yeah. But
I always want to see that.
I would say, and you got to give it to the Suns for not honestly complaining more than they did down the stretch. And I think that just speaks to Monty's leadership. I don't know his last name. I know his first name's Monty. And I think that it kind of stems down from there. Is that it? Monty that sounded
Williams.
Right.
Monty
I wanted
Williams.
To say that. I didn't want to be wrong.
It's Monty Williams.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the Suns really stayed composed for the most part. I think the Bucks, honestly, if you look at the facial expressions after things happen, they complain a lot after fouls were called. But also, I mean, Chris Paul's like the king of that. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the exception of Chris Paul.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and it really spoke to me. There were some blatant fouls by Milwaukee, especially down the stretch. And we have the foul call that we all remember with Devin Booker driving baseline and maybe lowers the shoulder a little bit on Pat Connaughton, which Will Griffith will talk about Pat Connaughton here in a minute. But lowers the shoulder very slightly on Pat Connaughton, and it's an offensive foul called. And it was one of those where, right now, speaking about it, like, over audio, you may think, like, we're being exaggerative, but if you go back and watch that foul call, it was ridiculous. It was no way it was a charge. But afterward, Devin Booker took it in the mouth and walked off. I mean, it was nothing.
Yeah, Devin Booker is a G.
You would have thought watching that foul call, that Devin Booker, especially the way that everybody else in the series had acted, mm-hmm. he was going to lose his mind.
All those guys.
I mean, yeah. if that was LeBron James, I mean, there would have been. He would have been crying about that.
His Twitter fingers would have been going off right now.
They would have reviewed it without a challenge.
Yeah,
it was
AG double hockey sticks.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, man, it was. Phoenix definitely seemed way more composed in terms of that, and. It's sad, and Will talked about it too, because like I said, we've talked about at the beginning of the podcast how much Will is a huge basketball fan, but even he has said that he hates watching the NBA now because of how much it's become a flopping game, a foul game, very reminiscent of soccer, where it's, you know, you show enough antics and acts that you're going to get a foul called, and it's definitely showed this.
Well,
this
I like the point that Will brought up during the game about the Olympics. I mean,
go for it.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that Team USA is getting absolutely dogged, basically, in the Olympics because every time they're looking for some dinky foul and they don't call it because basketball is not a non-contact sport, but that's what it's becoming in the NBA, and it's hard to watch, especially as someone who has grown up loving basketball and especially someone of my stature who has to not necessarily get around with finesse. I have to be scrappy, so I like the physical side of things, and it kind of sucks to watch that be taken away from the sport. Yeah.
Granted, they are exhibition matches.
Like, I'm sure someone could just say, oh, Team USA isn't trying, that's why they lose. But it's still like
Kevin
Durant. You can see it in
their face, though. You can see they're trying now.
Exactly. They got all these players, and they're losing to Nigeria, who, remember, and what was it, 2012, when they actually beat him by like a historic number in an exhibition game. Mm-hmm. They scored like 150 points or something ridiculous like that in a game. It was crazy. And now they're losing to these teams. And I think they're like 1-2. They barely beat, what was it, Spain recently?
Mm-hmm.
But like, they're not doing hot, man. And it's
led by your GOAT,
Kevin Durant.
Anyway. First of all, didn't
you
say
would be dogging them boys?
Who?
Not Giannis. Don't say first of all, Giannis couldn't because he would play for Greece.
Because he's in the NBA Finals.
Who's coaching Greece?
He's not American.
Who? Rick Pitino.
Really?
He's coaching the Greece.
Are you
Greek national team.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we like Will.
Rick Pitino.
Pretty wild.
He was got the fun facts on that.
Sounds like a dream. We didn't prep this before the show or anything.
Rick Pitino, coach of the year,
pulled that off like out the rib. That's pretty impressive.
And I think he brought a team to the March Madness this past year.
Why did Rick Pitino? He was coaching
Louisville. Yeah, because he was like, he was pantsing players or like greasing some people up. He was doing some like bad shit.
Yeah.
So he got like fined by the NCAA.
Every big
school. Yeah. Like pretty much just a classic.
So he
Rick
got
Pitino.
Caught.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino is also just like a slime ball.
Yeah. He coaches Greece, really? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Now you brought up a good point also while we're talking about foul calls and referees and stuff. About Scott Foster and his beef with we don't know if it's beef, nothing confirmed, but it's pretty obvious his beef with Chris Paul.
Oh
yeah, Scott Foster curse lives on, man. Chris Paul, he just can't win. I mean, I thought for sure that the NBA was gonna like kind of nudge Scott Foster and be like, hey man, lay off, like kind of let Chris Paul win, because it's circulating around NBA Twitter. Everyone,
you said
his
record. What was that again?
I think he's 0-14 in playoff games with
so
Scott
that's
Foster.
That's
now 0-15.
I think this was the 14th. It could be the 15th. I'm not really sure.
So for people who don't know who Scott Foster is, just tell them who he is.
He's a referee. Just a ref. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. I don't
know
shit about him.
He's a very big ref in the NBA world. Gotcha. And the fact, like, that record, if it was like 3-4-5-0, or 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, like that's one thing. This is becoming, it can't be.
How many games did he ref in this finals?
He refed
two.
I know he,
I think he refed two.
And they lost both of them.
And neither of them were the first two?
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Something like the last four. Yeah.
And that's I mean, at this point, it's not even coincidence. It's like that becomes a number where you're talking to 0-14, where it's like there's something up.
What did Chris Paul do? Like, did he not offer him good enough Allstate insurance?
State Farm.
Is Cliff Ball
State
his favorite
Farm.
Twin? Is it State Farm?
It is State Farm.
That's
All states the field goals. That's the field goal notes. But not like after 0-14, it's like, man, there has to be something up. Like, he has to genuinely dislike Chris Paul for it to be that coincidental. Like,
I think a big thing about the NBA too, like why they call so many fouls, is the refs think it's all about them. I think the refs are a big part of what's wrong with the NBA. And, like, obviously, you got Pat Connaughton just acting like a soccer player. He also looks like a soccer player.
Can we just add? Which sucks. Will Griffith does not like Pat Connaughton at all. He made that very vocal tonight as we were watching the game. And I just want to add this. There was only two players out of the whole Bucks roster that played tonight that were negative in plus minus. And one was Jeff Teague, who played 2 minutes. He was negative five. Pat Connaughton played 23 minutes. Pat Connaughton played 23 minutes, was 0 for 4, 0 points. He did have 8 rebounds.
Missed both free throws. He got fouled, missed both of them.
They were one of them barely.
Yeah. At the end of the game. At the end of the game.
Yeah.
8 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 points, minus 21 in his plus or minus, and they won this game.
He's the only one that actually played. They had a 7-man rotation, and he was the 7th man, and he sucked.
Now, I feel like this is a good segue, because I want to ask Will this question. So, and I'll get to each one of you in just a second. Why do you not like Pat Connaughton? What is the reasoning behind him being your least favorite?
Just over the course of the series, like, he just does those little grimy things, which I'm sure if you're rooting for him, like, you'd be like, yeah, that's our guy. Like Matthew Dellavedova in the 2016 finals, how he clamped up Steph. He was everybody's hero, but that's because everyone wanted him to win. This dude is like a broke, like, not a poor man's, he's a broke man's deli.
Well, the only reason he's not playing is because Dante DiVincenzo's hurt.
DiVincenzo's out.
If DiVincenzo was in, there's no way Pat Connaughton gets 23 minutes. There's no way.
Yeah.
Minus 21.
He
had that huge foul. I mean, he kind of helped it away.
That foul that was bogus.
I mean, it was bogus, but it still helped.
Crazy.
In a way.
And also, yeah, crazy flopping. Like, I like Bryn Forbes more than him. I don't know why he's getting
DNPs.
Yeah,
he didn't play at all. That's actually a great question as to why he didn't play. But my least favorite player ever is probably PJ Tucker.
League history?
Will's like, I got a list right here.
PJ Tucker.
League history is probably Tony Parker, just because I'm a Heat fan.
What?
But anyway.
Tony Parker?
Dude.
He's so nice.
When you're a Heat fan, when you're a Heat fan, and you see little tiny ass Tony Parker.
He's you see tiny ass. Whatever. His name's Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Tony Parker.
Tony.
Tim Duncan. Go ahead and give me some time. Anyway. It was Tony as in Rudy Gatoni.
No, Tony Parker, I mean, that's just
what?
Me being a Heat
what
fan.
Do you do?
Just me being a Heat fan. And me
all right, so we know this.
The sole
Austin
reason I don't
like Giannis and Tony Parker for one reason. They beat his Heat.
Okay.
Austin is very biased.
Extremely. Heat up, baby. Anyway.
Next topic.
Mine was PJ Tucker. And the reason behind PJ Tucker is the fact that he... Anytime, and you can even agree to this, David. Mike, you watched the game tonight especially. And all of us at this table can agree. Every time there's a foul called, anything that happens, it's automatically like... He's throwing air punches. He's just so mad. PJ Tucker, 36 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Plus minus. Let's look at it.
13, which is not that good.
Best plus minus in the game. Besides who? Who had the...
He did
have... Oh, no. He had the best plus minus. Best plus minus in the game. Austin's most hated player.
36 minutes. 36 minutes. 6 rebounds. 1 assist. 1 steal. 0 points.
He's a winner.
Out-rebounded by Pat Connaughton, who sucks.
So, David.
That's what I say. You scored nothing.
I
want to
know your entire league, not just the series, your entire league, least favorite player.
My least favorite player?
Yeah.
I don't have hate in my heart, Austin.
Mm.
You know who my most favorite player is?
Mikey. So.
Let's talk about J.R. Smith.
That's not.
J.R. Smith.
Most hated player?
In the NBA.
It's got to be Trae Young.
What?
I love Trae Young.
But why?
Trae Young's good. Trae Young he's one of the most talented players in the league, but dude, the way he carries himself.
Yeah,
like a boss.
Oh my, he's
a killer.
Cocky mother.
He has to be.
At the same time,
he wasn't really like that, like in the regular season or in any of the past couple years. And then
he knows how to flip the switch.
Okay. Playoffs. I think
one thing that really makes me mad and
that he played the Knicks and was cocky against the Knicks. That's probably why.
No.
No. He's
you
a Nets
got
guy.
Money. Why don't you get a freaking hair? Why don't you get a hair transplant? That makes me mad.
Yeah, the hair doesn't make a lot of sense.
I just don't get it, bro.
Just buzz it off at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, come on, Trae Young. Okay. He's good.
So
I mean,
it's just more like you look at his face and it pisses you off?
Yeah. You know, you ever see those kids like way back in the day, like in high school, you're just walking down the street like, I just don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Nothing he ever did. His face is stupid.
I feel like a
that's kind of Trae Young for
me, like,
but he's also
cocky.
I feel
like a lot of people thought that about you.
All right, well, you can't talk.
I feel like a lot of people just saw Mike and be like, this guy sucks. Why? I don't know. I hate him.
That's Trae Young for me.
Trae
Young's good. There's no reason I should hate him. He's just so cocky.
You're so alike. You hate each other.
If he was so... if he was, okay.
Whoa. It's like the Spider-Man meme where it's like...
You are just like Trae. You both are so cocky.
If he was humble,
you're both so sexy.
My hairline is not receding.
My hairline is receding.
If Trae Young was humble, I would love him. But he's not. He's way too cocky.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Sorry, I just had to segue that because he was talking about Pat Connaughton and I was like, well, people we hate... Mikey, get us back on track. NBA Finals.
So,
all right, what's next, my boy?
We were talking about earlier before how the refs are kind of ruining the NBA. Giannis favoritism with the refs. I mean, I felt like every time he was driving, if he wasn't making it, it was an automatic foul. And even if he was getting fouled.
Well,
do you think it's more favoritism or just the style play that is causing people to foul him if they're actual fouls? Because I mean, we watched someone like, dude, he barely got touched.
I think it's definitely favoritism. I mean, definitely style of play has a lot to do with it because you're going to draw more fouls as you're driving like that. But even as a fan of Giannis, it was hard to watch down the stretch some of those calls. And then it was like it fueled his motor, and he even got going more off of that. Not to take away – I mean, the man put up 50-something points.
He did.
I couldn't put up 2 points.
So. Here's a spin zone. Giannis had 19 free throws in the game. You know how many the Suns had, the entire team?
19.
Wow.
And Giannis made his free throws this time.
Yeah.
He missed two in the whole game?
He had a higher clip. He was 17 for 19.
If Giannis doesn't make all those free throws, it's a completely different game.
David said it when we were watching it. It was like, the Suns look scared to even play defense.
Yes, yes. Yeah. In the fourth quarter, that was what frustrated me. Because of all the flopping, everybody on the court was scared to even step in front. There was one play where I don't know who it was.
Bobby Portis.
Yeah, we all watched.
Just drove right by, and they were scared to even step in front because even though Ayton's standing there with his hands straight up, and Giannis just goes up and does one of these. And then boom, foul call, and it's
on
just
Ayton. And the Suns especially, who have DeAndre Ayton, who is their only center left,
the big teddy bear,
big teddy bear, sad teddy bear,
the sad teddy bear.
DeAndre Ayton is trying to play the best defense he can at the time, because they're already depleted.
Yes,
in terms of
all game he was playing scared.
Yeah, he was, and that's why
I think the whole team low key was playing scared. Also, though,
except for Frank Kaminsky.
I will say Giannis's defense was amazing.
No,
I think that was a big reason they won, and a big reason they were all playing scared is because I feel like any time one of their best players had the ball, Giannis was there.
He had 5 blocks.
Especially Devin Booker.
5 blocks nearing Devin.
Any time Devin Booker had the ball, Giannis was there.
Yeah.
Giannis was there, and he wasn't necessarily guarding him, but he was helping. Anytime he made a move, Giannis was in his face.
Like those 5 blocks, those were 5 field goals that were probably going in for Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were like floater. Right, I remember one specifically, it was a floater.
He was knocking him out of the air.
From D-Book, and this one, the game was a 2-point game.
Yes.
There were also
a
couple blocks that he hustled back for that were just goaltending that they counted.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's just what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, and we talk a lot about the fouls, but I will say Giannis had a freaking amazing game.
He did.
On both ends of the court.
He did.
As much as I am trying to take it away from him, you really can't.
You can't. Yeah. When you put up 50 points, I mean, even
50,
if you...
50-14 and 5 blocks.
Yeah. I mean...
No, he...
You gotta give him
that.
And I love Giannis, but it was just frustrating.
He was the finals MVP.
100%.
It's just hard,
unequivocal.
It's just hard to sit there and watch him.
Which brings me to a point that I would love to talk to you about, Austin.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I mean, you probably do.
Because I was about to...
Would you like to? You'd like to do the...
I hope we're doing the same point here.
Yes.
So we were talking about this earlier, and I looked at Austin, and I was like, you think Giannis is Robin and Chris Middleton's Batman?
Keep in mind, this man's been saying this for weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking at the paper. I'm like, who thinks Chris Middleton's Batman?
Someone must have planted this in his brain.
Okay. So if we're gonna
bring this up. Let me give my reason.
Chris Middleton yeah. is Batman.
It's funny that you said that because I was really going to say Kendrick Perkins was the one who first said this. I honestly agree with it because here's why. You know, Chris Middleton, first of all, I think is very underappreciated by not just Milwaukee fans, but the NBA fans in general.
Yeah, because he pushes.
He pushes me every day to be great. He pushes me every day to be great.
I'll never stop pushing.
Chris Middleton. Never stop. And a lot of people listening to this are going to be like, oh, that's so stupid, blah, blah, blah. If you've watched them from the get-go, because I had to watch them, sadly, the first four games of the playoff run because they went against the Miami.
You talking about?
Chris Middleton, then the Bucks. I had to watch them because they spanked my Miami Heat around. But I watched them almost every game they played this postseason, and it was towards the end of the game, like majority of the game, yes, Giannis was like the key focal point. He was the one who was doing the same thing he always does, run straight to the rim and get a layup or a foul. Chris Middleton was the one, even in a close game,
Mr. Freak,
was finishing the games. He was closing games. And even C.J. McCollum.
Yes, he does hit clutch shots in clutch
moments. And C.J. McCollum was tweeted about it the other day. Was like, you know, we obviously Giannis is going to win the finals MVP, but how many votes is Chris Middleton going to get? Because he deserves them. He was, even though his numbers, like tonight, he had only had 17 points. But I remember we were
so
watching.
So is this like the Iggy Steph?
Not even
I want
close.
Iguodala.
Not even close.
Well, Iggy actually won.
And so did Chris Middleton. What are you referring to?
No.
The finals MVP. Yeah. That one's weird. I don't really understand how Andre Iguodala won the award.
If Giannis was on that Warriors team, he wins that 10 times out of 10. The dude probably averaged like 40 in the series.
The thing,
he wins
the thing
what?
You have
the
to
MVP?
Ask yourself here.
Yeah. Is Giannis does?
On the Warriors team.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
You can't not give it to Giannis. I mean, he averaged 40 points.
Yeah, but that was
just and I'm not saying. I never said he shouldn't win finals MVP. It was just. Really look at it like
well, what
this.
Does MVP mean?
Talking 2015.
MVP is most valuable player, but I guess what you're asking what it means to him.
So,
and if you're going to go most valuable, you got to look at it like this. You put Chris Middleton with a good big. Right?
Hey. Giannis is not a big.
Okay.
Giannis is a freak.
Put Chris Middleton with a.
Of the Greek variety.
A good player. Okay.
Okay.
Giannis with. Not as good of a player, or not Chris Middleton.
Okay, who? Who's on his level? So you think he's that good? Let's say Devin Booker.
Are you talking, okay, Giannis and Devin Whoa. Booker? Okay, come on now. That's no. not fair. That's not yeah. fair.
So, well, who? He's Batman. You're saying Chris Middleton is the Batman and Giannis is the Robin
to
his Batman.
I see where you're going with it. I think
Giannis can close games. I don't think that. I don't think he can. And I think Chris Middleton, without Chris Middleton, Giannis is not winning this title. But I think Chris Middleton could be on a team to the point where they could still win a title with Chris Middleton because he can close games.
But he needs a player that's better than him to be that closer. He needs a better player than him to get him to that point. Yeah. So
how can we even say Giannis is the number one if he's not going to
finish
games?
Let me ask you a question.
So he was the only one scoring down the stretch.
Austin.
But he still needed Chris Middleton.
Just because he doesn't need a fadeaway whatever from mid-range
because
doesn't mean
he can't,
he's not
first
putting...
First of all, he can't.
That's not true. He doesn't can't. Mean
that
he's
is,
not...
That is true.
He can't.
Austin, so Chris
he's
Middleton...
Hit a few that game.
Roll the clip, so, Tammy.
If Chris Middleton scores 40 and Giannis scores 20, they
Your
still
name's
win.
Amanda. I think we should just...
If Chris Middleton scores 40 and Giannis scores 17, do they still win?
Well, no, because it's not 50.
Okay, he scores 50. I don't think they win. I mean, I know it's the same score, but I don't
all
think
right,
they win.
Hold on. How many points did Chris Middleton score?
17. He scored 17.
All right. Let's
also,
do some math.
All right. Look, look at it like that.
So, let's say Chris Middleton scored one less point. Let's say Chris Middleton scored one less point and Giannis scored one less point.
Yeah.
If you divide the amount of points Chris Middleton scored in half, actually, no. Let's do some math here.
I've never said points were the factor here.
Okay.
Except in the giga that Giannis
If Chris was. Middleton scored two less points. Wait. I don't know. If they both scored a few less points, and then you cut their points in half, Chris Middleton is scoring less than 7. Okay. If you cut Giannis's points in half, let's just say from 40.
Yeah.
That's 20 points.
Okay.
So the difference between what Chris Middleton scored and what Giannis scored is not... The difference in the score of the game.
Significantly higher is what he's trying to
say. My biggest argument here is...
He scored more.
Giannis
I mean, we already knew that.
If he's not going
to
close...
Well, I'm just saying because the they won by 7 points.
Yeah.
So, Chris Middleton scored 17 minus 3. divided my, by my two is
argument,
seven.
My biggest argument is if Giannis is not going to close games.
Okay. But he was.
He has to have.
He just doesn't hit the fadeaways.
The thing.
He was hitting post. He was hitting shots from the post.
Basketball has historically been like, it is half court offense. You got a guy. He's got to get a bucket. That's what it's been since Jordan, because Jordan was that get a bucket guy. Before him, you dumped it down to a big in the post. You couldn't stop him. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton is that guy for the Bucks. But the thing is, the Bucks didn't even really need him because Giannis was getting blocks and steals all the time. So Chris Middleton's a closer. He's the hooper. Giannis is not a hooper. Yeah. He's just an athlete. But it's a division that works. I don't think Giannis works with another guard, right? I mean, obviously he'd work with Dame or like someone like that. I don't think he works with someone that's not
another slasher.
Hooper.
Yeah, and
like, I don't think Chris Middleton works with any big other than Giannis.
This doesn't really benefit either one of This doesn't really benefit either one of our arguments, but I think Chris Middleton in the half court is way more of a reliable option than Giannis. I think Giannis in transition is definitely who you go to, but in half court you can run a zone. You can compact.
If you
the
want
paint.
Someone to break down a defense,
well, yeah,
but
I mean, what I'm saying is you can pack the paint, and Giannis's game is getting to the paint.
But you can't name one person on the Suns that could guard Giannis 1-on-1. So all Giannis has to do is drive, and then
so Giannis
okay, here's,
is back.
So he's creating.
And that but here's sense. Why you can't. Not that game. Here's why you can't do that though. Not it's because you could say a 7-footer because of size, but DeAndre doesn't have his speed. You could say Devin Booker because of speed, but he doesn't have his size. What matchup does Giannis have, like straight up size and speed? There's nobody.
That's
like
what
it.
Makes
exactly.
Giannis.
So what I and this goes back.
Thank
to,
you.
This goes back, no. This goes back to last show. Everything we just compared is just God given talent, like not skill wise.
Okay.
And that is why Kevin Durant is better than Giannis. There we go.
All right, we got
Mikey,
off
topic. So can we segue into our next
talk about
so let's so
yeah.
Austin.
We I do want to get on Bobby Portis, but go ahead. We'll get.
Let's just conclude this. So you still are. So you still are sticking to Chris Middleton as the Batman to Giannis's Robin.
I do believe so.
That's insane, but we'll let other people chew you out.
But anyway,
we're just gonna move on. So Will wanted to talk about Bobby Portis and his crazy eyes.
Dude is just
Bobby.
We all had a teacher in 7th grade who would just look at us with those eyes. And that is the first time I've seen those eyes since I was a prepubescent little kid, bro. And that was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. Bobby Portis sprinting up and down the court. There was that bite a while ago when they asked him how he got pumped up for games. And he says that he just sits down in the locker room beforehand and pretends that each of them just slapped his mom.
I sit in the locker room and I envision that the other player on the team slapped my mom.
The city loves him too.
Yeah.
They're in love with Bobby.
How can you not?
One of those characters.
Well,
you know?
I feel like Bobby Portis is one of those.
If anyone is Batman, it's Bobby Portis.
Is Bobby Chris Portis. Middleton the Robin to Bobby Portis is Batman?
Yeah, Giannis is like the civilian.
Alfred. He'll be Alfred. Cool.
Yeah, Bobby Portis is Alfred.
Giannis is Batmobile. No.
Giannis is the
I mean,
one that gets
Holiday
him there.
Like, I wish I had the key to the city like Bobby does.
Dude, Bobby Portis, man, he I will say, as much as we joke about him, he really did have a great game tonight. 16 points is massive.
I was just so happy to watch him.
He played a good key
his
role.
Intensity is really important, too. Like, he does everything 110%.
Yeah, and we watched, like, even against the Heat, there was some games he didn't even play. Coach's decision, not injury. He just didn't play. They didn't give him minutes.
Yeah.
And as much as it's fun to laugh about the way his face looks.
Because it is funny.
Yes.
His eyes are like.
It's just his eyes. Yeah, it's just his eyes. I don't know why. Like after the game, though, in the post-game interview, he looked completely normal.
Yep.
And honestly, I think his post-game interview was awesome.
He was out of mom slap mode at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about he loves his mom.
No one slapped his mom after the game. So he was fine.
It's all chill.
So going back to the Suns, what do you think the Suns could have done differently to win this game? I mean, was there one thing they could have done differently?
Get the
or
ball
was it
in Devin Booker's hands more.
But Giannis was
playing
there.
With more confidence. They looked scared on offense and defense.
I think overall, yes, just playing with more conviction.
And was it Chris Paul who played? I mean,
Chris Paul had a game. He had a pretty.
Or was it Devin Booker who didn't play with confidence? Or was it the whole team?
Devin Booker played with confidence, but he just didn't get the ball.
It looked like they were.
I also just think
the
Bucks played
pass.
A great game.
Yeah.
I think I should have played Frank.
But I think the part of the reason the Suns were scared to play with conviction was because of the way they were treated by the refs.
Yeah. It looked like they were stuck in the one more pass mode. I know we all
yes.
fell in love with
yeah.
the Suns Suns ball movement, that's awesome. But there's got to be someone.
There was open shots that they were.
Yeah, at times it seemed like Jay Crowder was the only one that wanted to take a shot, and he did.
Yeah,
Jay Crowder,
especially down the stretch.
If Jay Crowder has a lick of openness, he's shooting it, dude.
So Austin, you want to talk about Crowder's effect on the game and just with the Suns? You brought that up.
Well, dude, I mean, with Jay Crowder, because. And then this is important to know. Me and Will are both Miami Heat fans. And he was with us last year. We made our finals run. And that finals run was kind of out of nowhere. And people can say what they want about the bubble. But if your team was good enough in the bubble with neutral site, you're going to get to the finals.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Every team was playing in the same conditions.
Yeah, so people always want to say, like, I've heard people call it the bubble guppies, blah, 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 it's dumps, whatever.
All right, that's not the question.
You went off track.
We know you're a Miami Heat fan. All right. How did Crowder affect the Suns game?
Well, Dwayne Wade is the GOAT.
We get it, you're hurt.
No, the whole point behind that was we weren't supposed to make it to the finals.
And you think he had a big part of that?
And I think Jay Crowder had a massive part in that. I mean, there was a report that came out. I don't remember who said it. You can look it up. It was a very reliable source. It was like Woj or Shams, where they said that in practices, Jay Crowder was the only one who was like holding Jimmy Butler accountable. Jay Crowder was the only one who was. There was an altercation between them. Not an altercation, not physical like that, but there was a practice where those two were talking so much smack to each other. It was like uncomfortable for everybody else. And they played 1v1 after practice, and everybody stayed and watched. And they were just going back and forth, and it was just this and that, very personal.
That's Heat culture.
And my question to that, my thing with that is, we let him walk because we think we're going to sign Giannis. He goes to the Suns. Suns go to the finals. We get swept in the first round of the playoffs. And Jimmy Butler does not play well.
No, he did
not. Who is holding Jimmy Butler accountable? Nobody now. But Jay Crowder was that piece that was. And now he's with the Suns, and look at where they went. This Suns
didn't make the playoffs. He's very good at making it to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers were not that good tonight. But also his plus minus.
I was about to say,
plus four. It was the highest on the team, other than he was Cameron Payne. But also Cameron Payne only played 10 minutes. To Jay Crowder's 41, and Jay Crowder had plus four. So even though he didn't shoot the ball well, everything that he does is I don't know. There's something about Jay Crowder to where it's like he seems to make you better. And every team he's been on, if you look at it, he's had so many playoff appearances. Now he's only been to the finals twice with the Heat and with the Suns, but.
Loved him back in the Celtics. He was great.
Yeah.
With the Jazz, he played really well.
Yeah.
There's something about him.
He's just a solid player. He can fit to any environment.
He doesn't try to do too much.
I feel like he would be the guy with this roster that would challenge Chris Paul, would challenge Devin Booker in practice and in behind the scenes. And I think he had a big impact on the Suns making the finals this year. I don't know.
So if he's not there, do you think they still go or no?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of those things because it's stuff that, like, it's not numbers. It's one of those things. Yeah. It's like you just got to imagine if he was there or not and how they would do.
If he wasn't there, who do they start? Cam Johnson? I don't like that starting five nearly as much.
Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, long wings.
That's energy.
Got to give the Suns their respect. They're a great young team with other than Chris.
And honestly, the Bucks are young, too.
Yeah, the Bucks are young.
Very young.
They are.
We were talking about it. Bobby's, what, 26?
Yeah.
I thought Bobby was
big
older.
Three.
I mean,
big three. Bobby Portis, Giannis, and Chris Middleton.
Yep,
we love Bobby.
Robin, Alfred,
we dynasty Bobby on the way.
Let's compare that big three to the big three of Mikey's Brooklyn
Nets. So
Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. I'm sorry, I don't care if they're healthy.
If the Nets are not hurt. And Kevin Durant's foot is a little
bit smaller. Don't you talk about Bobby like that.
We are NBA champions.
Don't you open your mouth about the best.
Yeah, Brooklyn, if Kevin Durant was one shoe size smaller, Brooklyn's our NBA champions in five. We're not even having
But nobody wants to watch that.
I do. I want to watch
it. It's like watching an all-star team play against the NBA team. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to watch
Look at the Lakers. LeBron and AD.
Okay, that's two players that are very talented. And they have
compared
a
to three, which
them.
Kyrie's hurt and he's
okay,
taking
but,
personal days
but
not
you
this
could,
season.
But you could make an argument that Kevin Durant is the best at his position, James Harden is the best at his position, and Kyrie is at least top five at his position.
Top three.
Right.
LeBron is the consensus best player in the NBA.
Okay.
Besides Giannis.
Okay.
AD, what about AD? He's like top five, at least top ten.
That's fair.
In the NBA. I mean, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
If the Lakers get Dame, I mean, it's going to be the same thing.
That's fair.
So I mean, I'm not saying I like watching either of them. That's the way the NBA is headed, though.
I think everyone was just happy to watch this be the Suns and the Bucks. Yeah. I'm honestly just sad it's over. I wanted the Suns to win tonight so we could have a game seven.
All right. So
even though I'm happy the Bucks won.
To kind of wrap it up, Will, who do you got to win next year? Who do you got to win next year?
That's tough.
I wasn't ready
for this.
I think
the Suns are going to have a great offseason. I think they're going to be all real hard workers. I honestly think that Chris Paul and them will not get a deal done. So yeah, I don't really see Chris Paul coming back. I mean, if the Nets are healthy, the Nets have to win. It's a foregone conclusion.
All right, how about this? Let's throw the Nets out the window. Because I feel like I was going to say the Nets.
Nets versus the field. How about that?
Yeah.
You taking the field or you taking Nets?
The issue is that they just got to stay healthy.
I mean,
let's go health.
If health is not an option, and Kyrie's not taking personal days off because of whatever, who's going to beat the Nets?
Look at those three, dude. They're insane. James Harden, Kyrie.
And if James Harden actually puts in an offseason besides going to Atlanta and partying it up.
He looks tubby.
He looks tubby.
He is, man. That beard, bro. If he shaved that beard, ooh.
No, this is. since we're wrapping it up, this is one question I really wanted to ask Will, because the season just ended for the NBA. Biggest free agency move or signing this offseason. What do you think it's going to be? I know what he's going to say.
Perfect. I know what both of you are going to say.
I know what I got to say.
So we actually, this answers both questions in one. The Heat are winning next year because we're signing Kawhi Leonard.
Yep, and I know that's exactly what you were going to say.
You think Kawhi's going to leave?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
The Hornets are going to win because we're going to sign LiAngelo Ball.
Shut up.
Book it right now.
Boo!
Basically, so LiAngelo Ball, Hornets, NBA champion next year.
Trade lines, baby. Book the Hornets. No, this is crazy. Shout out to this league. It's a podcast from Barstool that told me all this. But Kawhi is apparently really upset because if you remember in the Western Conference Finals, he had that big knee injury.
Yeah.
And he's really upset because they said that it was nothing that serious at first. He played on it. It got worse. Okay. And Kawhi, you know, he's weird. Like, he's one of those where he's
got
like,
boo-boo.
Didn't this happen before?
Spurs.
Yes, yeah. Spurs.
He didn't play a whole year.
And he was mad, and that's why he left.
So, fast. The same thing happened with the athletic training staff with the Clippers. They think he's going to leave because now they missed that.
So, maybe they're just trying to build a story based on past
maybe not. I'm just saying, for me, this is what I'm taking it as. I think he's going to end up leaving. If you remember back in that last offseason when he was a free agent, with Toronto, he decided he was going to go to L.A., but he asked Jimmy Butler to come with him. He asked Jimmy Butler.
He
asked Jimmy Butler before he asked Paul George, right?
Wow.
So now the Heat have the cap space to sign him. We have Bam. We have Jimmy, a guy he obviously likes. Jimmy. Bam, good player.
Good young players. Precious is a great defensive player.
Precious.
Good guy. I don't know why you're laughing.
He's good at basketball.
You see him block the shit out of Kevin Durant in exhibition game?
Nigeria all the way.
I mean.
Yeah, next time you see his Precious plug, it's going to be a Nigerian flag. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Precious. I'm sure you could hurt me a lot.
Anyway, Kawhi obviously has connection with Jimmy Butler. He's going to get out of there. The Heat culture seems like it would fit Kawhi Leonard perfectly. We have the money to sign him. I really think Kawhi Leonard to Miami is a thing. And if it happens, you heard it here first.
At the same time, I could see us whiffing and just signing DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, and then we just we signed Rudy Gay to a max contract.
I mean,
and then we're done.
Rosen's not bad.
No, DeMar DeRozan's a great player.
I mean,
I would rather not sign to a max deal.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't sign to a max deal either.
I see on Miami Heat page all the time talking about Kyle Lowry. I'm sorry. There's something about Kyle Lowry I just don't want.
No. All right, Dave. Who you got?
Biggest free agency signing.
Who do you think? Like, who do you think's gonna go to a different team this year? That was your question, right?
I thought it was who's gonna win the finals.
That was what his first question was. I just wanted to ask Will big offseason moves, anything like that.
What do you think is gonna happen?
So answer either one you want.
I mean,
where's Drew?
I don't know. I think that. All right. So it's the same token.
Yeah.
The same direction they went. I think if Dame goes to the Lakers.
Ooh, that's a big one.
That's
what I was going to say.
I mean, Damian Lillard is top three favorite players of mine.
Dude's a baller.
He's probably,
if not my favorite player.
I mean,
he's top three, top five in the NBA right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think him, LeBron, and AD, I would love for Dame to get a ring. And I think
if he goes there,
I don't really see anyone stopping them.
Trade for him, though.
I mean, healthy Nets is money.
Well, you know, dude, we always say, like, the Nets had their big three, and we're always like, dude, that is, like, super, super team. Imagine Dame, LeBron, and AD on team. They beat it.
That would be fun on 2K.
Do they, though?
Two top five.
I don't know.
Lakers versus the Nets?
If the Nets are completely, let's take health out of the situation.
Gotta remember DeAndre Jordan.
No.
Who Mikey hates.
Joe Harris. I hate DeAndre Jordan.
Can't forget Joe Harris.
I'm sorry, I'm a huge Brooklyn Nets fan. I hate DeAndre Jordan. He can't do anything. He needs to leave. Has to leave.
Okay. Here,
just,
okay.
You just like walk out.
And exactly.
I don't even want him anymore. Just leave. Get out of the building.
Well, you'll still pay him. Like, just.
I don't care. I'll pay him more money just to leave. Can't stand the guy.
Well,
he's probably a great person, but as a basketball player, he's done.
And to kind of add on to this, what you were talking about with Dame.
Have a 20.
I want to ask
here's
you guys.
Here's 20 bucks.
Just go, please.
I want to ask you guys.
You're free.
Don't ask for any more.
Do you think Damian Lillard will stay in Portland?
Yeah, I think he will.
Long term.
He came out and said that he wanted to stay.
I don't know. He said without saying, he hinted at the fact that if they don't build a roster around him, he's going to leave.
I will say, though, this talk reminds me a lot of what everyone was saying about Giannis last year. He is never going to win a ring with the Bucks. He is never going to – he's going to have to go somewhere else. I think it'd be smart for him to do that.
True.
And then we see, call it a fluke postseason or whatever, but we see him ultimately get up there and climb to the top.
That's a good point.
I think Dame sees that and says, wait a minute, I am just as good as him. I'm more skilled than him, you know, as we've been saying.
Yeah.
And if he can do it, I can do it. CJ's better than Chris
Middleton. And I would love to see
Nurkic
that.
Is okay, better than you, Bobby Portis.
Okay, hold on. You really think CJ McCollum, and David Saliba can really back me on this. I love CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm. Back him, David. Back him.
Get your boys back, man. Do you really think CJ McCollum is better than Chris Middleton?
No, but Dame probably does. He's been playing with him for years.
Fair. Okay. That's fair.
That's a good point.
That's fair.
So well, I think, seeing this happen, if Giannis lost, that's a different story.
Yeah, say you switch Chris Middleton and CJ, just the chemistry that Giannis and Chris Middleton have, they've been together since they came into the league, since Giannis came into the league, and CJ and Dame have been together since, they both got drafted.
Pretty much the same time.
I feel like Giannis' play style and the Bucks' play style works better to win a championship.
Well, to kind of wrap it all up.
I agree. So
has been many, many talented point guards. And point guard, it's kind of a point guard dominant league at this point, just as far as overall talent goes. But it still seems to be the teams that win in the finals have a dominant forward.
Yeah. It's easier. I think it's easier to stop.
That's a great point, actually.
Two
LeBron, KD.
A big guy.
I will say this and kind of wrap it up because we're running out of time. It's you look at the Bucks and you look at the Trailblazers, the Bucks of last year, Trailblazers of now. You had Dame. You had Giannis. You're two superstars, obviously.
Yeah.
It's your big man. You have Brook Lopez, Nurkic. I think very similar. You had Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, very secondary guys. But then the difference is the Bucks added a Drew Holiday. They added a PJ Tucker. They added these guys.
Yeah.
And all of those guys know their role.
And like Portland, they have Robert Covington, good guy. They have Anfernee, right?
Anfernee Simons.
I thought it was Anthony. They had guys like Fernie that.
And.
If. Like I said, the Bucks of last year, Portland of now, very similar. But Bucks added these guys that are win now guys. If Portland can do it, they have the ability. The only problem is Milwaukee has a little easier of a path. Now, I know you say Brooklyn, but they have a little easier of a path than Phoenix. I mean,
Kawhi
not Phoenix,
Portland?
Than Portland. Because no chance.
No,
because of
Kawhi's not going to Portland.
Because of Portland
Toronto,
being in the West.
Might as well go to Portland.
Toronto's better than Portland. Oh, come on.
Well,
I also think it's remiss that we haven't mentioned Drew Holiday until then. Drew Holiday is a baller.
Yes.
I really like him.
Yeah, he was very underrated in those finals.
Yeah,
even though he went 4-for-19 tonight.
Yeah, his stat line was atrocious.
He was clamping.
His plus minus?
Him
too.
Being put his on Booker
plus
minus
was
the difference in the series.
No, yeah. I agree. His defense was phenomenal.
He was plus 12, which is a good plus minus.
That's second best on the team.
The 4-for-19 is really is not with 46 minutes is
but
rough.
When he's playing that good a defense on Devin Booker,
but
I mean, I'll take the 4-for-19.
He's one of those, man. It's the stat lines don't really matter to him. It's like, you know.
He hit a big three when it counted too.
I don't know the box score of game five, but I know that.
Say
the stat line said one steal. That one steal right there won the game. So
yeah. He also had a great game in game five. Like that was his game of the series. Yeah. He had like almost 30. I think.
And I think that's why he probably came in a little hot.
Played tonight. The most minutes on his team.
46, dude. That's insane. He played more minutes than Giannis.
I mean,
it's pretty insane.
When you got a guy playing 46 minutes, I mean, that's tough, dude. 46 minutes.
He played 46 or 48 minutes. Keep that in mind. That's tough. He benched for and also your plus minus plus 12, which is not the best, and you're shooting 4 for 19, but you're also playing every minute of a game except for 2 minutes. So someone who hates the Bucks, Jrue Holiday, you know what? Props to you, man. Had a great game.
It was a great pickup by them. So.
Great series all together. I think every game was good. You know, Milwaukee.
Wish we could have had a buzzer beater. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, Milwaukee are NBA champions. Before we finish it off, man, Will, you got something to say to everybody real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on, having a little talk. Hopefully you guys will be hearing from me soon, probably in the news of some sort.
Really lied.
Last podcast, Austin said household names were soon to be household names.
Boom.
Willie lied.
Here we are.
He is one of them right here.
Dude, yeah, we're going to hope to get Will on a lot more. Hit him up for any of our betting situations, because I think he knows all about it, because he's a big gambler, man. Ain't that right, Will?
That's not true. I'm really not.
Yeah, he's really not.
I don't do that,
Brian. He really doesn't. Anyway, great series. Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions. And we will hopefully be getting you guys soon about some more offseason stuff, and we'll hopefully be getting into some NFL stuff, because we're all in the offseason now.
Yeah, I can't wait for NFL. That's
talk about maybe the Olympics being canceled, by the way. I didn't know about that until David told me.
Yeah.
So anyway, you've been listening to That Damn Sports Podcast. We'll catch you guys later.